This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, June 28th, 2018. Coming up this hour,
Chinese stocks extend their bear market declines.
The Federal Reserve releases another round of bank stress tests.
The government issues its third and final estimate of first quarter GDP.
And we're live in Europe as EU leaders gather for a key summit on economic and political issues.
The battle begins between Republicans and Democrats to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. Plus, preparations are underway for a Trump-Putin summit. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
Yanks blanked in Philly. Mets go down as well. And on the pitch, World Cup action. The defending champs are eliminated. I'm Pete Fox. Those stories and more coming up in Bloomberg Sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective, no K-1 commodity ETFs. Visit graniteshares.com for more information. Distributor Foreside Fund Services, LLC.
And U.S. stock index futures are higher this morning while European shares fall. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 4 points. Dow futures up 29. NASDAQ futures up 14. The DAX in Germany's down 0.7%. CAC in Paris down 0.3%. FTSE 100 down 0.1%. Nikkei 225 in Japan, that'll change. Hang Seng in Hong Kong gained 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1%, up 8 cents, to $72.84 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.2%, down $2.70, to $12.53.40 an ounce. The euro $1.1574. The yen 110.24. Bob.
The stock declines continue in China, with the Shanghai Composite Index closing at its lowest level since March of 2016. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Sophie Kamarudin in Hong Kong.
Bob and Karen, the sell-off continued in Chinese markets this Thursday, testing policymakers' endurance. Shanghai shares fell deeper into a bear market as the benchmark dropped below 2,800 points for the first time in 2 years. Chinese banks and real estate players continue to be hard hit, especially with authorities ramping up the crackdown on property speculation on the mainland. Plus, Chinese airline stocks extended declines as the yuan weakened further despite the PBOC sees stronger than expected daily fixing. In Hong Kong, Sophie Kamarudin, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sophie, thank you. The declines in China come as the White House reestablishes a hard line on trade. And Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Karen. White House economic advisor Larry Kudlow said President Donald Trump's decision not to adopt a more stringent approach on trade did not represent a softer stance on China.
It will be allowed to invest. The question is how, ownership, what's the threat of a technology transfer or a theft of intellectual property? These are things that the new CFIUS firma will have to decide.
Stocks sank after Kudlow's comments. The administration did say yesterday it would work with Congress to strengthen reviews of foreign investment under the existing Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., or CFIUS, rather than the more draconian approach of declaring emergency economic measures. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Banks will be in focus once again as we get another reading on the health of the financial industry. Michael Moore covers the banks for Bloomberg News.
So later today, we get the results of the second round of the Fed stress tests. And this is when the Fed either signs off on a bank's capital plan for the next year or rejects it, and the bank has to lower its ask for how much it can return to shareholders in buybacks and dividends. And this is the piece of the test that investors are really focused on because it determines how much cash they'll be getting over the next year.
Bloomberg's Michael Moore. The results will be released after the close of trading. The S&P 500 Financials Index, meantime, has dropped for a record 13 straight days.
Later this morning, we get the third and final estimate of first quarter GDP. Economists are forecasting a 2.2% economic growth rate, the same as the prior report. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice has more.
The first quarter was a sleeper, with consumer spending registering the smallest gain in almost 5 years. Business inventories and net exports were revised lower. Looking ahead, economists are bullish about a recovery. We could see second quarter GDP growth of 3% or better. Also on today's economic agenda, jobless claims, which remain near a half-century low. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Vinny. European Union leaders are gathering in Brussels to tackle a growing number of political and economic challenges. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek is live in London with the very latest. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob and Karen. This was supposed to be the big crunch EU summit for settling many Brexit issues, but the progress has just been too slow. So now it's migration that's at the top of the agenda. Chancellor Angela Merkel of Germany facing an ultimatum from her own interior minister. She's in Brussels to reach a deal with her co-partners in Europe to tighten Germany's borders and stay in power, really. They'll also be talking about trade tensions, Trump's threat to impose US tariffs on cars and auto parts later this year looming over the discussion. And of course, the euro is in focus. Leaders will approve steps to shore up the currency by beefing up the region's bailout fund. Talks set to start in about 4 hours' time. In London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thank you. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras says he will stick with the financial commitments agreed with European leaders this month. In an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Tsipras says there'll be no return to the spending habits that triggered one of the biggest financial meltdowns in the continent's history.
What happened in Greece in previous years and led us to bankruptcy was a huge waste of money, corruption, and I would say irresponsibility in the management of public finance. We should not go back to that. And as far as I'm concerned, I will do whatever I can in order for Greece to not go back to that tragic period.
Now, as the Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras speaking exclusively with Bloomberg Editor-in-Chief John Micklethwaite in London.
The modern technology world's biggest patent battle has finally come to an end. After 7 years, Apple and Samsung Electronics told the judge they've resolved their first filed but last remaining of the legal disputes that once spanned four continents. The string of lawsuits started in 2011 after Steve Jobs, Apple's co-founder, who died that year, threatened to go thermonuclear on rivals that used the Android operating system. The companies didn't disclose the terms of the accord.
S&P futures are up 3.5 points this morning. Dow futures up 23. NASDAQ futures are up 10. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 6:07 on Wall Street. A vacancy ahead on the U.S. Supreme Court. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Federal Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh, a former Anthony Kennedy law clerk with close ties to the retiring Supreme Court Justice, is emerging as a top contender to replace his former boss. That's according to two U.S. officials familiar with the Trump administration's thinking. President Trump says he will start the effort to replace Kennedy immediately and make a choice from a list of 25 contenders. Justice Kennedy announced his retirement yesterday. Trump spoke to a rally in North Fargo, North Dakota last night.
And I'm very honored that he chose to do it during my term in office because he felt confident in me to make the right choice and carry on his great legacy. That's why he did it.
Democratic Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer on the Senate floor said it would be the height of hypocrisy for the Senate to vote on a new justice before the November midterm elections.
This is the most important Supreme Court vacancy for this country in at least a generation.
Democrats say they are echoing an argument Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell made as he blocked a confirmation vote on President Obama's final Supreme Court nominee before the 2016 presidential election. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will hold their first bilateral summit next month. The White House and Kremlin settled on Helsinki for the summit, according to Fox News. Defense Secretary James Mattis met his South Korean counterpart in Seoul today. Mattis said U.S. diplomats are working closely with South Korea in trying to achieve North Korea's complete and irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula.
The recent decision to suspend the Freedom Guardian exercise creates increased opportunity for our diplomats to negotiate, increasing prospects for a peaceful solution on the peninsula.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thank you, Michael. Now, 6:09 on Wall Street, time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, and here's Pete Fox.
Thanks, Bob. Yankees looking for a sweep of the Phillies at Citizens Bank. Came up a little short. Luis Sessa only lasted 3 innings, making his first start for the Yanks since August 14th. He gave up 3 runs on 5 hits, all 3 of them coming on 1 swing of the bat.
He swung on a high fly to deep right. Back goes Stanton on the track near the wall, jumping, and she's gone. A 3-run home run for Hoskins. A long high fly to right center, and the Phils take a 3-0 lead.
Aaron Boone.
You know, in a lot of ways, too, kind of working his way back to getting built up to being where he's fully rolling. You know, but that said, he made some pitches to get out of some situations, just the one that obviously Hoskins made him pay for, a good job of driving the ball the other way. But all in all, just still working his way back to try and really round into that quality form.
Mets have dropped 8 of 9 after blowing a 3-run lead, surrendering 4 to the Pirates in the 9th, 5-3 the final. Juris Familia, the losing pitcher. On the pitch, big win for South Korea, eliminating the defending champions. 2-0 the final over Germany. It's the first time since 1938 the Germans have not advanced to the knockout round. Sweden, a 3-0 win over Mexico, winning that group, but both teams advance. Brazil advances as well after a 2-0 win over Serbia. Costa Rica and Switzerland played to a 2-2 draw. I'm Pete Fox. That's your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Pete. Madison Square Garden is looking to spin off its sports franchises, including the Knicks and Rangers. The company says the proposal would separate the sports teams from MSG's live entertainment operations and be structured as a tax-free deal. Shareholders would receive a 2/3 economic interest in the Knicks and Rangers, as well as the New York Liberty. The live events company would keep famous venues such as the Garden and Radio City Music Hall, as well as a music festival producer and hospitality group, and about $1 billion in cash. U.S. stock index futures up 3 points, 0.1%. That is S&P futures. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of Prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach Real Estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Wells Fargo Technology Banking. Wells Fargo helps business leaders find their moments of truth. A little outside perspective can create a lot of clarity. Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The Federal Reserve releases the results of its second round of stress tests today. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley are under pressure to perform well. Analysts have grown skeptical about whether the firms can increase, or in Goldman's case, even maintain payouts. It's only a matter of time before the 10-year Treasury yield retests 3%. That's according to JP Morgan's Nicholas Garsight. He said that's because the US economy is going, quote, gangbusters right now. But his view contrasts with Morgan Stanley's Matthew Hornbuck, who said the yield peaked in May. US soybean farmers may overtake Brazil as the biggest supplier to the EU next season. Rabobank said that's as the cost of American beans surge. Brazil's soybean premium almost doubled in a month on the prospect China will need to buy more to replace US supply. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures higher at 5 points. Dow futures up 42. NASDAQ futures up 16. The DAX in Germany is down 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd. Yield 2.83%. Yield on the 2-year 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2%, up 17 cents to $72.92 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.25%, down $3.20 to $12.5290 an ounce. The euro, $1.1573. The yen, 110.24. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump has pledged a swift nomination to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy. Possibilities to replace Kennedy include Federal Appeals Court Judge Brett Kavanaugh, Federal Appellate Judges Raymond Kethledge of Michigan and Amy Coney Barrett of South Bend, Indiana. President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin will hold their first bilateral summit next month. The White House and Kremlin settled on Helsinki for the summit, according to Fox News. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants won. The World Cup, Germany is out after losing to South Korea. Sweden and Brazil won. Switzerland advances to the knockout round after a draw with Costa Rica. Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
And good morning, 6:20 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker. Walgreens reporting third quarter earnings before the open of regular trading in New York today. And to give us more on what we expect from Walgreens, Jonathan Palmer, a healthcare and BI senior industry analyst, joining us from Bloomberg Intelligence this morning. First of all, I think we have to explain the competitive landscape that's taking place in the pharmaceutical space right now with Walgreens. What is it? Just how competitive is it?
Yeah, it's a very interesting time for the pharmacy players. There's CVS and its purchase of Aetna potentially going through. A competitor on the insurance side, Cigna, bought one of the big PBMs, Express Scripts, which really leaves Walgreens as the last really standalone pharmacy chain, big pharmacy chain in the United States. So its competitors are all merging, and they're standing pat.
Some really smart person described their strategy right now as kind of ho-hum. Is it?
It's interesting you say that. They held an analyst day last month in New York where they usually give an overview of their long-term plans. And really, they're sticking to their knitting. They're not really doing anything dramatic like we've seen their competitors do. Walgreens has been big on doing partnerships with other companies. They just announced a small partnership with the insurer Humanita to do some stuff in their stores in Kansas City. But we're not really seeing the dramatic moves that the competitors have made to kind of embrace maybe what might be a new environment in retail.
They are acquiring Rite Aid stores, though, right? And the distribution centers.
That's correct. You know, that about two or three years ago in 2015, they tried to acquire all of Rite Aid. The FTC pushed back on that deal, and they eventually wound up buying about half of Rite Aid's 2,000 stores. You know, I didn't mention it before, but another interesting transaction that's happening is Rite Aid is merging with the grocer Albertsons to form a bigger retail conglomerate of both grocery stores and pharmacies. So another example of competitors embracing new business models while Walgreens, you know, just like I said, sticks to their knitting.
So the impact on earnings, what are you going to be looking for in the report this morning?
The thing investors are going to be looking for today is really the amount of script growth that's going through their stores. Last year, they acquired, or not acquired, they announced a couple deals where a number of patients came on board into the Walgreens model. They announced a deal with a company called Prime Therapeutics to bring a lot of their members into the Walgreens stores, and that's now anniversaried. And we have the Rite Aid stores that they acquired last year coming online. So really people are going to look to say, where are scripts going? Because scripts growth is what drives the pharmacy business model.
They're entering the Dow Jones Industrial Average as one of the components of the Dow. What impact does it have?
You know, at the end of the day, my view is that it doesn't really have a big impact outside of the prestige factor of being a Dow Jones company. I think the choice of Walgreens is an interesting one. You know, we've seen in retail a lot of pressure from Amazon, you know, across all the different facets, whether it's grocers or big box stores. It's interesting to me that the Dow Jones committee decided to include Walgreens, you know, who, as I said, is really sticking to this retail-centric model when some of its competitors like CVS are embracing these new models of retail and insurance combined together, which in my mind, probably would have been a more appropriate choice of what the new economy really looks like.
Yeah, they entered earlier this week, not exactly an industrial company. Where do you expect sales, real quick, about 10 seconds?
Yeah, I think, as I said, the sales on the pharmacy side will be up modestly in the low single digits. You know, the other piece of the store, the other piece that a lot of investors look at is what's happening, not in the scripts, but on the retail side. That's a key metric going forward as well.
Jonathan, thanks very much. Walgreens, probably around 7 o'clock this morning, Wall Street time, we'll get results. Jonathan Palmer of Bloomberg Intelligence on Walgreens earnings. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
This 4th of July, listen to special coverage of the Boston Pops Fireworks Spectacular from the iconic Esplanade in downtown Boston. Coverage begins July 3rd at 2 and July 4th at 4, only on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Good morning to you. It is 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm Bob Moon.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Stocks in China extending its decline deeper into a bear market, closing at the lowest since March 2016, as the yuan also weakened. The Shanghai Composite Index fell almost 1%.
U.S. futures are higher this after stocks yesterday closed at their lowest levels in about a month. The Nasdaq was hardest hit yesterday, falling 1.5% on trade tensions between the U.S. and China.
Bank stocks have dropped for a record 13 straight sessions, and they will be in focus once again as the Fed releases another round of stress tests on banks. We get the story from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
The nation's 35 biggest banks passed the first round of tests in which regulators checked to be sure they could survive a deep recession and a drop in asset prices. The results being released today could be less positive, and Bloomberg's Michael Moore says this is the key round in which the Fed signs off on capital plans for banks' dividends and buybacks, and investors find out how much money they'll get back over the next year. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Jeff. The stress tests will be released this afternoon. This morning at 8:30 Wall Street time, the government will issue its third and final estimate of first quarter GDP. Economists are forecasting a 2.2% economic growth rate, the same as the prior report.
European Union leaders are gathering in Brussels to tackle a growing number of challenges, from refugee routes and transatlantic ties to Brexit and banks.
And the biggest patent battle of the modern technology world has finally come to an end after 7 years. Apple and Samsung Electronics told a judge they'd resolve the first file but last remaining of the legal disputes that once spanned four continents. It is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time for your volatility index report. The VIX surged for the second time in three sessions. The index closed at 1791 yesterday. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is down to 1728. That's this morning's volatility report.
S&P futures are higher this morning, up 7 points. Dow futures up 55. Nasdaq futures up 18. The DAX in Germany is down almost 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.83%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.50%. NYMEX crude oil moving higher, up 0.25% or 19 cents, is $72.95 a barrel. COMEX gold is on the decline. It's down 0.2%, down $2.70 to $1,253.40 an ounce. The euro at $1.1579, and the yen is at 110.22. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. That brings us to 6:33 on Wall Street. The scramble for the filling of a Supreme Court seat. Bloomberg's Michael Barr with that and more.
Good morning, Bob. All sides are mobilizing in response to the retirement of Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy, promising a confirmation battle for President Donald Trump's next nominee to the high court. Trump says he will start the effort to replace Kennedy immediately and will pick from a list of 25 names that he updated last year. Trump spoke at a Republican rally last night in Fargo, North Dakota.
We have a pick to come up. We have to pick a great one. We have to pick one that's going to be there for 40 years, 45 years.
Senate Republicans say they plan to move forward with the Supreme Court confirmation process prior to the midterm elections. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says it will happen by fall. And Republican Senator Orrin Hatch says everybody should be on board with the process.
I think we'll just move ahead. I think it's important that we get that straightened out, and I think even the Democrats understand that.
Not necessarily. Democratic Senator Chuck Schumer, the minority leader, is already saying the Senate should wait.
Our Republican colleagues in the Senate should follow the rule they set in 2016, not to consider a Supreme Court justice in an election year.
He says that is the rule under which Mitch McConnell operated in 2016. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Officials from the U.S. and Russia say President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin have agreed to the details for their first official summit. Trump's national security advisor, John Bolton, is in Moscow.
Both President Trump and President Putin feel that it's important for these two leaders of these two critically important countries to get together and discuss their mutual problems and areas of cooperation.
Fox News is reporting that the location of the summit will be held in Helsinki next month. FBI agent Peter Strzok spent 11 hours behind closed doors with members of the House Judiciary Committee yesterday, answering questions about any impact his personal political opinions might have had on the investigations into Hillary Clinton's emails and Russian attempts to interfere in the 2016 election. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. That brings us to 6:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's Pete Fox.
Thanks, Bob. Yankees were looking for a sweep of the Phillies at Citizens Bank in Philadelphia. Zach Eflin looked good for the Phils. He went 7, gave up no runs on 4 hits. Luis Sessa, who started for the Yankees, took the loss, only made it through 3 innings, gave up 3 runs on 5 hits, all 3 coming on one swing of the bat, a homer from Rhys Hoskins. At Citi Field, the Mets blew a 3-run lead as the Pirates posted 4 in the 9th. With the loss, New Yorkers dropped 8 of their last 9. Pirates win it 5-3. On the pitch, World Cup action, South Korea upends the defending champions Germany 2-0 the final, eliminating the Germans from the tournament. It's the first time since 1938 that Germany has not advanced to the knockout round. Sweden, a 3-0 win over Mexico. Both of those teams advance to the round of 16. Brazil moves on as well after a 2-0 win over Serbia. Switzerland and Costa Rica played to a 2-2 draw. Bob?
Thank you, Pete Fox. It is now 6:36 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
Shortly after his inauguration, President Trump praised Harley-Davidson as a great American company. Less than 2 years later, he is threatening to punish the firm for doing its best to survive his policies. This absurd turn of events is the logical consequence of Trump's entirely illogical approach to trade. The mistakes began with the president's tariffs on steel and aluminum, which provoked U.S. trade partners to retaliate. Now that the EU has announced tariffs on Harley's U.S.-made products, the company plans to move more of its production, bound for Europe, offshore. The administration is looking next at tariffs on European cars. If they go forward, expect further retaliation and a worsening lose-lose cycle of shrinking trade, diminished U.S. competitiveness, disrupted supply chains, and ruined investment plans. U.S. workers and consumers won't be spared. The president ought to stop his trade war nonsense before it goes any further, preferably before he finds himself applying sanctions to the very companies he meant to champion. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. The Trump administration's proposal to merge the education and labor departments is not in the fiscal 2019 Senate measure that provides funding for those agencies. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
Part of the problem is the idea is so new there wasn't enough time. And the appropriator in charge says there's not enough support yet.
Senator Roy Blunt told reporters that he doesn't believe there are the votes in the Senate to currently do this.
Bloomberg government's Emily Wilkins says Democrats don't give it support.
They believe that both the education and labor departments have separate and very important roles and that combining them would be a mistake.
But the Senate bill does include funding for the current programs and does not include some of the administration's proposals like increased funding for school choice. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thank you, Nancy. It is now 6:39 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg Green Business Report. That Prius battery in the garage might soon be cooling your beer. or maybe grilling sausages. The first batches of batteries from electric and hybrid vehicles are hitting retirement age, yet they aren't bound for landfills. Instead, they'll spend their golden years chilling beer at 7-Elevens in Japan, powering car charging stations in California, and storing energy for homes and grids in Europe. Lithium-ion car and bus batteries can collect and discharge electricity for another 7 to 10 years after being taken off the roads and stripped from chassis, a shelf life with significant ramifications for global car makers, electricity providers, and raw material suppliers. Finding ways to reuse the technology is becoming more urgent as the global stockpile of EV batteries is forecast to exceed the equivalent of about 3.4 million packs by 2025, compared with about 55,000 this year. China, where about half the world's EVs are sold, is implementing rules in August to make car makers responsible for expired batteries and keep them out of landfills. And that's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. Microsoft is catching up to Amazon in obtaining federal security approvals, giving it an edge over other potential bidders in the Pentagon's winner-take-all competition for a multi-billion-dollar cloud computing contract. The company is advancing toward the certification needed to host the government's most sensitive classified information, a status held currently only by Amazon Web Services, as it expands cloud computing storage centers through its Azure government secret units. This is Bloomberg Radio. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg. It's the first and only global news network built for Twitter. Follow us at TikTok, TICTOC, 24/7 news streaming live on Twitter. This is Bloomberg.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Granite Shares, a provider of cost-effective no K-1 commodity ETFs. Visit GraniteShares.com for more information. Distributor Foresight Fund Services, LLC. Futures this morning are moving higher. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading higher after yesterday's sell-off, with Dow futures up 88 points. S&P's gained 10, while the Nasdaq futures climbed by 29. The U.S. 10 yield at 2.83%, and Shanghai fell 0.9% overnight. Well, European markets are also trading lower, led by losses in Germany and Italy. Back in the U.S., on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims, GDP, and core PCE. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, Bed Bath & Beyond comp sales missed estimates, and Madison Square Garden is exploring a spinoff of the Knicks and Rangers. Regarding earnings this morning, McCormick beat and look for Accenture and Walgreens Boots also to report in the pre-market. In other news, Robert Baird said to buy Tesla ahead of its Q2 delivery release. And in deal news, Athene is said to express interest in buying some or all of GE's insurance business. Wrapping things up, Bernstein said to buy Boeing shares on trade-related sell-offs. Madison Square Garden upgraded to buy at Jefferies. Wayfair's price target raised to 140 from 87 at Loop Capital. And Brown-Forman upgraded to EcoWeight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, President Trump says he will start the effort to replace retiring Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy immediately and will pick from a list of 25 names that he updated last year. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate will vote on Kennedy's successor this fall. Democrats argue that any decision should be put off until after the midterm elections. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and FBI Director Chris Wray are scheduled to appear on Capitol Hill today to answer questions about the Justice Department's Inspector General's report. In baseball, the Yankees and Mets lost along with the Orioles. The Red Sox, A's, and Giants won. In the World Cup, South Korea, Sweden, and Brazil won. Switzerland and Costa Rica ended in a draw. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, Mattel is launching Robotics Barbie. She's donning a lab coat and glasses as a robotics engineer. It's part of Mattel's push for diversity. Bob, Robotics Barbie comes with a humanoid robot and a laptop.
Now, I'm assuming it's a teeny tiny laptop, right?
Teeny tiny. Yeah. And Ken better up his game. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts. in more than 120 countries. I'm Mike LaBarre. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Michael, thank you very much. It is now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the full House considering a bill calling on the Department of Justice to comply with the demand by Republican lawmakers for Russia investigation documents. While the House Judiciary Committee holds a hearing on DOJ and FBI actions around the 2016 presidential election. President Trump attends a fundraiser in Wisconsin this morning. Also making news today, plans for a summit between President Trump and Russia's Vladimir Putin. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter is with us now and can fill us in on the latest. Kathleen, word today that they've already picked out a host venue?
Yeah, so what we're hearing is that they may be looking at Helsinki, Finland, for this summit. And we've been hearing for a while that they could potentially tack it on to the president's trip to Europe in mid-July. And so I think we'll get a formal announcement, it sounds like, this morning at some point or today at some point. But it sounds like that's like what they're potentially looking at.
Now, again, what is the point of this meeting as described by the White House?
Well, I think for both sides, I think both for the Kremlin and the White House, it's an opportunity to try to ease some of the tension that has seeped back into U.S.-Russian relations over the last couple years. I think that it's important to note, however, though, that John Bolton, who's the National Security Advisor, who secured this meeting during some meetings at the Kremlin yesterday, was really lowering expectations from the get-go by saying that just holding the summit, he described it as a deliverable, and basically cautioned against some sort of expectation that there would be some sort of concrete agreement coming out of the summit. So I think that's pretty interesting to look at it that from that perspective and see that already they're kind of saying, well, don't expect some big agreement or cooling, a formal cooling of tensions. Just the fact that the two of them are going to be sitting across the table from each other discussing a range of issues is in and of itself important.
Senate Democrats have little chance to delay President Trump's pick for the Supreme Court. Now that Justice Anthony Kennedy will be retiring. And this is something of a struggle, isn't it? Because the Democrats say, listen, you didn't approve our pick for the Supreme Court when President Obama was in office. You ought to wait now.
Yeah, and that's the thing, you know, I mean, I guess they can make, Democrats could make and probably will, you know, continue to make a similar argument, which is that there's an election coming up, a midterm election, and, you know, Republicans argued prior to the 2016 election that they should wait for the outcome of that in order to move a Supreme Court nominee. You could make the argument that the same should hold true for the midterms. That was an unprecedented argument when Republicans made it, but the advantage that Republicans had is that, and that they still have, is that they're in the majority in the Senate, so they set the agenda. And Democrats, given the election year pressures that they're going to be under, it's going to be kind of unlikely for them to be able to really block a Supreme Court nominee. They certainly wouldn't be able to keep the majority from trying to move ahead with one.
Okay. And then the Treasury Secretary wins a round in the White House battle over China.
Yeah, so this sort of internal behind-the-scenes showdown and inter-party infighting between White House aides who want to go really hard on China in terms of punishing them for what they see as an unfair trade practices, and the sort of more moderate wing, which is led by Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin. The latest round, Mnuchin seems to have won, where he essentially convinced Trump to do an about-face and kind of back off a plan to basically employ what many people consider to be kind of a nuclear option on China with trade and its intellectual property and take a more measured approach. So I think it's worth noting that Mnuchin has this level of influence with Trump and that he was able to kind of engineer this. It shows that he's someone that's pulling the strings within the White House.
And this does reflect, though, some internal tension in the White House.
Absolutely. I mean, it shows us that this kind of infighting that we've seen from the get-go in the Trump White House certainly persists to today, and that the disagreements behind the scenes in the White House on really significant matters such as trade do persist to this day.
Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter, thank you very much. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 HD2. It is now coming up on 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. There's been a conservative majority on the Supreme Court for decades, and a very conservative majority for more than a dozen years. Justice Kennedy's replacement will likely make for an extremely conservative majority, far more conservative than overall public opinion. That's partly the result of when vacancies appeared, and partly from the audacious constitutional hardball Senate Republicans practiced in 2015. But the biggest factor is that conservative Republicans have institutionalized partisanship and ideology in the selection of justices. Public opinion could constrain them. It could even happen through the confirmation process. If not, will Chief Justice Roberts then seek to enact as much of an extreme agenda as possible, or will he attempt to tone it down to avert the possibility of electoral backlash? Past justices have followed the election returns to some extent, but there's never been a Supreme Court majority like the one that will almost certainly convene in October. The justices have been handpicked and trained to push hard in a partisan and ideological direction. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Now it's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report, and here's John Tucker. John.
And Karen, to understand what a trade war means for America, go to the Mississippi River and Louisiana. Its reliance on trade makes it a unique microcosm of how the tariff battle will affect America. Bloomberg's Katia Dimitrieva says the unintended consequences impact the small business community especially.
And in a lot of cases, small businesses would be hurt harder than larger companies because their margins are so much tighter.
For example, Jacob Landry runs Urban South Brewery in a former warehouse down the street from the port of New Orleans. Every dollar counts at his small business, where the added expense on aluminum cans this year alone is set to devour the equivalent of a local worker's salary for 6 months. The Port of South Louisiana is a trade juggernaut, handling the most tonnage of any U.S. port. 500,000 Louisianans have jobs that rely on the flow of goods. A trade war would weigh on Louisiana, slowing total economic output by a minimum of 7% over 5 years. That's the most of any state, according to the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures are up 7 points this morning. Dow futures up 55 and NASDAQ futures are up 19. The 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.83%. And NYMEX crude oil, little change now at $72.73 a barrel. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For Bob Moon, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.